9, the presentation of telephone appearances, fees, and revenues, amending California Rules of Court Rules 3.670 and 5.324 to approve apportionment and allocation of fiscal year 09-10 revenue amounts. This is an action item. We have Mr. O'Donnell and Mr. Simpson.
Thank you, Chief. Good afternoon, I guess it is, to you and the members. What I'll be discussing today is some implementation matters. The Office of General Counsel and the Finance Division are making recommendations to implement provisions of the last year's budget trailer bill, SB 857, that relate to telephone appearances and specifically telephone appearance fees. Let me just say at the outset, in developing our recommendations, we also worked with a group of plaintiff and defense attorneys, with court executives. We had various solicitations for input in a variety of ways, and on the rule proposal, we circulated the proposed rules not once but twice. So when we come here with hopefully a lot of input. Finally, I guess I should mention that we had an RFI with the two potential vendors responding, and we met with them and got further information that led ultimately to reaching agreement on a master agreement. So let me provide the overall context here in a second. SB 857 went into effect last October, and as a budget trailer bill, it went into effect immediately. And the key immediate provision that mattered was that for every telephone appearance by a vendor, the sum of $20 was then to go in immediately into the trial court trust fund. We have now seen the results of that, which in the last quarter, the January, February, March quarter of this fiscal year, resulted in over 82,000, almost 83,000 paid telephone appearances and the transmission to the trial court trust fund of over $1.6 million. So annualized, we're talking about a sum of about $6 million. Clearly, this is not going to fill big holes in the budget, but what it does do is it makes the very important telephone appearance process that the attorneys have strongly supported in the courts to make telephone appearances more efficient and cost-effective, also one that there is revenue for. In addition to the revenue I just described, SB 857 had a number of other implementing requirements, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. First, it indicated that by July 1, there would be master agreements in place that would replace the existing local agreements. Second, it provided that the Judicial Council shall establish uniform statewide fees. And third, there will also be revenues received under the master agreements from the vendors, which will be the equivalent of the total amount in pre-existing revenue sharing agreements with the courts for the 09-10 fiscal year. That amount of revenue needs to be apportioned among the vendors and also allocated to the courts. So that's the overall agenda for today's proposals. Let me just provide a quick picture of background so this is how the proposal will be clearer. Currently, all 58 trial courts have contracts with one or more vendors for telephone appearances services. In fact, 57 out of 58 courts have telephone appearance contracts with Court Call, and one court has one with Telecourt. Under 857, these individual contracts will be replaced by July 1 with a master agreement, and each court will be entering into participation agreements under the master agreement, and that process is well underway. Currently, under the rules of court and their individual contracts, the 58 courts have set up telephone appearance fees that are to be in a reasonable amount. Those amounts currently vary from $70 to $85. Under SB 857, the Judicial Council is to set by July 1st, and that's what we're recommending, a specific set of telephone appearance fees. Third, under the existing local agreements, many of the courts, in fact, 38 out of 58, currently have some kind of revenue sharing with one or the other of the existing telephone appearance vendors. Under SB 857, this will be replaced by an amount that is received from the vendors equal to the amount that was received by all the courts in the 09-10 period, and this amount then needs to be allocated to the courts. The courts that are eligible are those courts that, under the statute, had received money in the 09-10 period. So, There are basically two things we're going to be looking at, fees and appropriation and allocation of 09-10 money. In terms of the fees, new Code of Civil Procedure Section 367.6A requires the Judicial Council by July 1 to establish three fees, a telephone appearance fee, a late fee, and a cancellation fee. The current telephone appearance fees, as I mentioned, are in the range of anywhere from $70 to $85. After extensive discussions and collection of information, we are recommending that the fee be set in the amount of $78. This will mean that the amount that will be paid by people appearing by telephone will be lower in 43 counties and higher in 15. So obviously, somewhere, if you pick a number between 70 and 85, it's going to be higher for some and lower for others. We think that the amount that we're recommending is reasonable and appropriate, and will basically maintain the current revenue stream for the vendors at the current level, and their services will be maintained at the current level. Our underlying goal here to maintain a continuity of services. Second, regarding the late fee, the late fees currently vary from some courts that charge nothing to those who charge $35. We are recommending a late fee in the amount of $30. This, again, works out to sort of like the weighted average. 44 out of the 58 courts currently have late fees. So we think that the amount of $30 is a reasonable amount there. The final fee is, by statute, a cancellation fee. This turned out to be the only fee that had sort of controversy around it. Neither the vendors nor the attorneys seemed to want a late fee, but the statute required it. There was some discussion about could one have a late fee of zero, but that seemed to be inconsistent with the statute. So there was recommendation that the late fee be in a nominal amount of $5. Cancellation fee. Excuse me, yeah. So the cancellation fee, we're recommending in the amount of $5, and I think there's some discussion about perhaps it can go away at some point in the not-too-distant future. I should say all of the legislation is subject to change in 2 years. The $20 fees, unless there's further action, will go away in July of 2013. The revenue sharing portions I've just described will be maintained in effect. So then let me finally one other footnote to this. Most of the fees we're talking about are for fees to appear in civil proceedings. There is under Rule 5.324 in Title 4D child support hearings some applicability of the existing rule and provisions to those types of proceedings. But because the courts cannot recover money in those types of proceedings under federal law, we're recommending a slight variant that in terms of fees, there would be no fee charged by the courts, no cost recovery because of the federal law. The vendors, however, would be allowed to collect a fee, but no $20 additional fee would be charged. So the fee in Title 4D proceedings would be $58. And in all of these matters, fee waivers are available to any eligible person. So those are the fee recommendations. In terms of the allocations, as I mentioned, one of the issues is how is the 2009-10 money going to be allocated among the vendors? As a practical matter, one of the vendors is so dominant that they will basically be paying pretty much the full amount. The other vendor might have a small percentage. We do think it's important, though, to develop a formula so that, for example, in the future, if a new vendor came along and developed a third or half the business, there would be a way to allocate fairly among the vendors the amount of the 09-10 money. So we're recommending that the 09-10 money essentially be allocated or apportioned among the vendors based on their relative shares of the income they bring in each quarter in terms of the $20 fees as a measure. So that's the apportionment process. The final recommendation concerns the allocation to the courts of the 09-10 money. As I indicated, the statute indicates that only those courts that receive money in 09-10 would be eligible, or rather that had such pre-existing agreements, would be eligible to receive the money. Our recommendation is that courts will continue to receive the same amount that they did in 09-10. It'll be done on a quarterly basis so that each court that received a certain amount in 09-10, each quarter from now on going forward, will receive one quarter of that amount each quarter at the end of the quarter. So that, for example, in Marin, my recollection, if you look at page 22, which has a chart, they received about $40,000 in 09-10. They will now be getting $10,000, a little over $10,000 every quarter. And that's the formula that we're proposing going forward. The statute, as I said, limits who gets the money to eligible courts, so there's some restriction. There were some discussions about could we do it on some sort of pro rata basis. There are, as I say, limitations there. The statute also indicates that the money is to avoid disruption. We're recommending that the 09-10 amount received would probably be a good measure and should be used for now, but the language is flexible at some future time if this council decides that it wants to modify the formula for distribution. That would be within what it could do under the existing statutory scheme. So that's basically the proposals. You'll see on page 22 the specific distribution that is proposed here. I think overall this is a very positive thing. We both are able to go forward here as a branch with the telephone appearance process. The courts are picking up some additional revenues. The courts that have received money will be kept whole. And as I said, the one thing we'll need to keep doing is monitoring the progress of this because there are some statutory changes. The process of telephone appearances has been going on, expanding and growing since the early 1980s. This is not the end. It's just another step in the process. But I think in these hard fiscal times, the success we've had in having some revenue flow here to keep this all going is very positive and hopefully should work out well, and we'll have to keep pursuing this. So are there any questions?
Jim Penrod?
Do these vendors have to make competitive bids every year to get the business of these counties?
The way it'll work in the past, there have been a variety of different contracts of different lengths. What will now happen is there's a statewide master agreement, and each county can enter into the contract. The contracts are virtually terminable at will. So if a new vendor, for example, hypothetically, were to come along and was to enter into the statewide master agreement, then any court that wanted to switch to the new vendor could do so. So that would be the process. So the new vendor would need to be part of the statewide agreement, the master agreement, and then courts could, at their own election, choose to be part of that. Right now, we have two vendors who have executed the new statewide master agreement, and it's up to the courts to decide who they want to go with. Going forward, that could change if additional vendors were interested in entering into the statewide master agreement.
Okay.